Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio today with my partner in crime, Lee Kimball. How are you doing, Lee?
I am well, Beth. I am well. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is really a good time of year, isn't it?
I love this. I love this time of year. This time of year is my inner calendar marker. Mm-hmm. This is the beginning and the end of my psychic year.
Yeah. And it's fun because with the holidays approaching, we think of people that we appreciate all through the year. You know, like there's people that you're like, you don't have a lawn guy, but I have a lawn guy.
Oh, I do have a lawn guy.
Oh, do you? Okay.
And he's on my Christmas card list.
Yeah, yeah. And you think about somebody like that, that cuts your lawn regularly, and you try to let them know how much you appreciate them, or other people, just people around town.
And that hasn't increased my rate in 8 years.
Wow, that's excellent. That's a big deal. Yeah. That's a really big deal. Well, today we were going to talk about, you know, setting yourself up for spiritual success. What makes you successful in your spirit life? You know, there was a wonderful woman, they called her St. Catherine. She said, give God your heart and he'll give you his eyes.
I've seen that recently somewhere.
Yeah. And it's funny because I like that because it's a different way of seeing the world when you're spiritually successful. You're the same human being walking through the world next to a bunch of other human beings, but you just have a hookup spiritually and you're conscious of it.
You know, it's funny because just right before the show, Beth and I were speaking and I mentioned to you in a conversation I had with somebody yesterday that I believe miracles happen all day, every day. Mm-hmm. It's just a question of whether or not
you can see them.
We see them.
Right.
And I have been given a new set of eyes where I see them much more frequently than I used to.
Mm-hmm. I think it's healing the blind man. You know, it's that kind of thing. We're not just blind because we physically can't see. Many of us are blind because we spiritually can't see. We don't discount the spirit world. And, you know, I'm not, don't flip your channel. Don't get crazy.
Yeah, give us a minute.
Give us a minute because we're not, this is not a religious show. This is not, we don't push any one way of thinking, but we do encourage you to seek. And to connect, because you can connect with the world around you. You connect with the people around you. You connect with your true self, your innermost self, what you really believe. And you can connect with a power greater than yourself. And that can be for you. That might be kneeling down and praying or going to a church or something. For someone else, it might be going to the beach and watching those waves. It might be walking through a forest. Yeah, but it's the seeking. It's the knowing that there's something greater at work. There's a greater power in this universe that's just bigger than me, and I can be in contact with it on purpose.
In the beginning of my journey, Beth, it had to be that simple, you know, that there was and it wasn't me.
Right.
You know, because it's I've been raised by a man that believed he was his own God. You know, I was a single father, so I believed that I was all-powerful over my daughter, and I did have the responsibility in many ways, but you know, it's
a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot. Yeah, you know, well, today we're going to talk about kind of pathways to spiritual success, and I wanted to talk about for you and me, Lee, to get started, so people are listening, so you out there listening to us, think of somebody or a name that you associate with spiritual success. You know, I associate, say, Mother Teresa. I've heard her quotes. I've heard the things she does. I've seen pictures of her taking care of the poor and the needy. And her, one of the things I think that showed spiritual success in her life that I saw easily was service. How about you? Anybody that you see, Lee?
It's strange that when you just said that, because I was part of the recent discussion we had that with a group of people, but the first thought that came to my mind, and it's contrary to my usual thing, but I love listening to Joel Osteen.
Yeah.
I can hear in his message, not exclusionary, is that
right.
a word?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can speak to me and my some of my. It's not a separation message.
Right.
I get a total connection message.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, there's when you say the name and you ask what was their mode of spiritual living. So whatever name you're thinking of, whatever you're thinking of out there, some of you listening might be thinking of the Christ. Somebody else might be thinking of Buddha. Somebody else might be thinking of the Dalai Lama or the lady down the street.
Or the lady we had on recently that's raising a child for a suffering family member.
Right. Whatever you see, whoever you see in your life as being spiritually successful, then I want you to ask you the next thing. Is their life simple or complex? Do they tend to simplify things? And what's their claim to giving? What kind of things? Some of the words that we come up with, you know, I mentioned service. Concerted connection, if you're thinking of some people. Some people really work to be connected. Some people, I would say, maybe sacrifice, maybe empathy, maybe compassion.
Selflessness.
Yeah. These are things that you think of when you think about the person that is spiritually successful. And those are the words we see as the way of life for them. And if I were writing the names of people that were successful in sports, what names would I write?
LeBron James.
Okay, LeBron James. And what is his claim to fame?
Basketball.
Yeah, but what's his best thing? Scoring?
You know, I'm not a fan, but I am a fan of his.
Okay.
I recently heard an interview where he said it's time to retire, and the reason he believes it's time to retire is that when he meditates, mm-hmm. right there he had me. And when he meditates, he used to not be able to keep his mind from going to basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And when he meditates now, it no longer does. And that has been an indication to him that it's time to move on.
That he's moving on. That's interesting. Well, if I picked another, like let's pick Sandy Koufax, pitching.
Pitching.
Right.
Yeah.
Or if you picked...
Joe Namath, passing.
Right. Right. Any of the special, they show a natural ability. They already have a natural ability, but then they take serious discipline to really hone in on that ability. If you look at these sports greats, like if somebody was a pitcher was going out, say a major league pitcher was going out to practice, the coach isn't going to say, you know, you're great at pitching.
But grab a catcher's mitt today.
Yeah. Or let's go out in the field and see if you can catch any of these fly balls. You know, that's what we need. And that's not really what they're there for. Everybody kind of hones in on their special skill, and they practice that, and they practice and discipline, and they work at that, and they become world class. And I see the same in the lives of the spiritually successful. They practice what they do. Mother Teresa practices. She's out there serving regularly. It's a regular... She's good at it because she's practiced it just as hard as any sports superstar has practiced theirs.
But my question would be because when you say that, what I think is it's something she's practicing because doing it in and of itself is her motivation.
Well, it's also her gift and talent.
Yeah.
I believe that each one of us has a gift and talent. Yours might not be service. Yours might be something different. And it's kind of funny because everybody who finds their way to spiritual success finds their passion and finds their what's really been laid on them, what they're good at. There are people behind the scenes praying for other people. You may never see them. You may never know how important they are in your life, but there they are. They're praying and they're building someone up and they're practicing that skill, their skill. Is to pray for others.
But in the work that we do, how often have we had people say to us, you know, that time you said and it made a huge difference.
You never know what it is. Yeah, I would say one of mine is teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has a different one. You know, serving is an important one. There's people that come around Beth Wee when we're doing something, they automatically serve. They just fall into place. They never complain. They are automatically helping break down or pick up.
Like it's contagious.
Yeah. It's like that's what they do, and they know that that's what they can give back. And that's, you know, a natural ability plus discipline seems to equal success. It works in sports. It works in spirit. It works in the business field. Your natural ability plus discipline, you're going to be successful in business.
So to shorten it up, it works.
It does work. Yeah. You know, it does work. And each of us were created with gifts and talents that will bring us to like a fullness of spirit. So, but we have to take the time and energy to not only hone our skills, but to know what they are.
But even better, if it's a passion, then you're naturally drawn to wanting to practice.
Right. Especially if you're a quarterback, you're going to practice passing. It's what you do, and you were probably passing when you were a kid, when you were playing outside with your friends, you wanted to throw the football.
Yeah, Joe Namath didn't say, "Oh God, I got to go throw the football again today."
Yeah, they play for hours, you know, and that's what they do. It takes a team. Each member must work at their own skill level, and then improve on the skills that they bring. A team, everybody. It takes 9 people to play baseball. And they're all different talents. There's only one pitcher. There's only one catcher. To be a first baseman is different than to be middle field.
And without a right fielder, you don't stand a chance.
Yeah. So, you know, those are the things that we're gonna talk about here, too, because we're all called to contribute our best to the team of humanity. We're talking today about spiritual success. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to continue when we come back. Stay tuned. It's going to get good. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio with my buddy Lee Kimball, and we're talking today about being spiritually successful and what we can do to find that. And you know, good or bad, you're going to have to look for your own talent. Sometimes it's hard for us to look and see the good. Many of us could make the list of what we do wrong. It's hard sometimes to make the list of what we do right. For those of you out there that practice 12 steps, and I'm a big proponent of the 12 steps. They were started in Alcoholics Anonymous, but they're good for everybody. So just because you don't drink doesn't mean you can't use those 12 steps.
And we've seen them create miracles in the lives of people across the board.
Yeah. Well, in the 4th step, you're supposed to write a fearless moral inventory of yourself. And what's funny is many people that I've worked with through the years, they're not afraid to write what's wrong with them, but it's really hard to write what's good about them. I remember one year I was working.
I'm laughing
on this,
already, folks.
And I wrote a list of, I made a whole 4th step only on what my good qualities and gifts were. That was way harder than saying what I've done wrong through my life. Saying what I did wrong was like, oh yeah, I did this and I did that. You know, I could go on and on. But what do you mean? What do I do right? No, what do you do right? What does that mean? What do I do right? That's what people say to me when I ask them to do it. But I made this list, and then in the 5th step, some of you know, you're going to go admit to yourself, to God, and to another human being the exact nature of your wrongs, and in this case, of my rights. You know?
Oh, that must have been easy.
Oh, my gosh, it was hard. I paid a therapist. I didn't do it with somebody. I didn't, like, just call you and say, hey, Lee, can you listen to my 5th step? I, like, called somebody who was paid to be quiet.
People you've done this with in the past, you... Yeah. Eliminated them. They weren't qualified.
And even then, I'm sitting across from this man, and I'm like, I'm a fairly good communicator. you know, things like that. Like things that you'd think would be easy to admit. For some of us, it's not. So get on with it. Figure it out. Because you were meant to be here, and you've got some skills and talents that our team needs. And this team, the human team, we really need to come on strong. There's some things working against humanity right now. Some of our own people are working against humanity, and the team that's, you know, working for wholeness and unity, we got to get busy. We got to get moving. And to do that, we have to kind of know what our best traits are.
And I have to tell you, folks, that if you feel uncomfortable because you think it's arrogant or cocky to acknowledge your gifts, your traits, or your good traits, or your talents, it is a sign of humility. It is a lack of humility to deny them.
Absolutely.
And that's a flip on how we often look at it.
Yeah, we think humility means like humiliate, make me feel bad. It doesn't. It's an accurate assessment of yourself. It's really seeing yourself as you really are.
The good and the bad.
And as you were created.
Yeah.
You were created with gifts and talents, and some of these are actually gifts from creation so that you will use them in the world, and that you would discipline yourself, that you would use them regularly so they would get stronger. Because some of these gifts will get stronger if you just use them more.
I've told you before that I love that bumper sticker. Our Christian friends appreciated that. Said, nobody's perfect. Well, there was that one guy.
Well, you know, the nature of spirit is to grow, to create, and to expand. And when I think of that, when you employ practices that make you connect more quickly, more fully, and more openly, your life will change, and it will change for the better. Fear and selfishness will hold you back. Mm-hmm. Fear and selfishness will hold you back. And selfishness is sometimes called pride.
Yes.
Isn't that sad that we're too proud to let people know that we're good at something? We're too proud to be who we really were meant to be because we think it might be, I don't know, upsetting somehow. And actually, it's when you step into that light of who you were created to be that you're going to find spiritual gifts are just going to abound, and you're going to grow, and you're going to impact the world, and you're going to have people around you that tell you that you're impacting their lives.
It's funny you say that because, as you know, I'm working with a group of people lately, and we just went over this concept of pride leading to self-justification is the true block to spiritual progress.
Yeah, it's very true. You know, we hold back because we think we're supposed to fit into some mold. And what I'm saying to you is, you know, I'm not asking you to break the mold. I'm just asking you to be who you were created to be. Be who that is.
Get comfortable in it.
Yeah, step into the light. So some of the spiritual gifts that we're talking about that some of you have, and some of Lee and I have a few of them here too, but I want to talk about a few of them to throw them out, to get people thinking about it. What do you think? Does that
like
sound
it.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, the first one is one that everybody hears about, faith. Don't you hear about that all the time? Oh, if you only had faith, or I have faith, or I have faith in you, or you know what I mean? Faith. Faith is being firmly persuaded of God's power and knowing that God's will can be accomplished. It's like confidence in the higher power, faith. Is that a different way than you think of it?
Well, when you said faith, it's like when you said, I have faith in you, I went to, I believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I think Lee thinks this now too, faith grows.
It matures.
It does. It does grow and mature. And it's a beautiful thing when that happens. And it grows into trust. Because what started as me just having confidence in a higher power, or me trying to have confidence, or as I practiced it and as I disciplined myself daily to have faith.
And achieve new experience.
Right. And I spoke my truth, even though my voice shook. Mm-hmm. You know, I was afraid. But I kept speaking what I believed the truth would be. And like, kind of like, if there were a loving God, then God would probably want me to be happy.
You know?
And I was nervous about it, you know, like, but I would say it, you know, then God wants me to be happy. That might be one of the things. And happiness is a byproduct of how I live.
Right living.
Yeah. And how I live is something that my willingness, my free will can give me ups and downs for. Now I got a little something I can do, but if I'm asking for faith, these are the kind of things that happen. And, you know, it grew for me. It grew into trust. Now I just trust the higher power. And I talk to the higher power all throughout the day, and I'm comfortable. Even if I look back at journals that I did 25 years ago where I was talking to the higher power, I'm not natural. I'm very like, okay, I am
formal.
Yeah, I have to be formal, and this has to be done right. And I'm talking to the creator of the universe, and this is actually very important.
I need to put on a jacket and a tie.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And I was, and as the years have gone by, I've gotten more and more comfortable.
I do it in my underwear now.
and the faith has grown to trust. But that's faith. That's the first one. And for those of you going, I don't have that one, go to another one so I hear it. I just want to let you know, faith is a free gift. You can ask to receive it. If you don't have it, and some of you might not, ask for it. Just say, you don't have to say, just say, hey, I need some faith. Just, if you're not privy to the higher power, just say, hey, Beth's higher power, hook me up with some faith. I'm looking for some faith.
Well, didn't your journey start with almost a dare?
Yeah, mine did start. I said, God, if you're real, come now, because I'll never ask again. I mean, I wasn't, oh, I'm so sorry for the wrongs I've done. I was the opposite. I was, if you're real, come now, because I'll never ask again. I was just so broken at that point. I didn't care. At that point, I was broken enough where I didn't care if I lived or died. I just wanted the pain to stop right then.
And but there were no bells and whistles. It was a gradual
No, it just started.
Knowing.
It just kind of came. It just like any other relationship.
It built.
The more time I spent in the relationship, the longer, the more it grew. So that was faith. I'm going to throw another one out there. How about wisdom? Wisdom is like an inner understanding, as if the higher power whispered a truth in your ear.
So would you say it's like a knowing?
It's beyond knowing, because knowledge is another one. Knowledge is more like remembering your principles and truths and being able to utter those to those who are struggling, like you have the knowledge. You
How
have
about
a word.
An acceptance?
Yeah, wisdom is like an understanding. It's like... You're just, it's like somebody who is wise. Think of someone who's wise.
So it's natural.
And you're like, how do you know that? How do you always know the right thing to say? You say sometimes to some person. They have the gift of wisdom. And this, you know, creative spirit speaks to them. And they can speak it out to you. And it's like, wow, they're like a conduit.
Now, were they born with it, or was it a product of their experience and their faith and their path?
I'm not sure how to answer that. Just like I was born with certain, I wasn't going to be the girls' tennis champion.
But you were given other attributes.
Yeah, but I was given other gifts, you know. And like some people are born with, you know, to be the best in a sport or to be, you know, some where they're going to excel. I was good in school. I was good in academics, where other people that were good in sports weren't. So we all have our own gifts, and I think that this is how this is too. However, I think of the spiritual gifts, if you really would like one of them, I think you should always ask.
Because they're available to all of us.
They're available, and source is it's creation. It can be created in you at any time. At least that's my belief. But they come from source, and they come from God putting them into you so that you will use them. See, that's the other thing. So you will use them.
And the neat thing is, Beth, we've seen it, that belief work in people that did not have that belief.
Absolutely.
That started with that little...
Right.
Little just yeah. Desire.
There's other gifts, too. There's other of these that I'm talking about, these gifts. There's healing. There's some people work miracles similar to healing. There's discernment, just knowing when something's crazy or true. Just knowing the truth and serving, teaching, encouraging, being a leader, that's a gift. Being merciful, that's a gift. We're going to talk more about this. It's a wonderful thing.
Van Morrison had a gift.
He did have a gift. And this is our little song that we play. We're going to take a break for the news, and we'll be back with our 5 on 5 and more about spiritual success. Stay tuned.